Now we're on the air. Okay. So let's pick up at the let's pick up at, so that I find the right file. Okay. So we had just gone through the sugya about Kabbalah Basmo, and the thing that most interested me about that sugya at the end was that the final makor that we had was one that was the makor from Nazir, and I wanted to point out first of all, right, as I pointed out earlier, that the raya from Nazir doesn't tell you anything about health.
About what?
Health. It just tells you about pain. Right, that's a flaw that we had noted earlier in the attempt to prove a thesis from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and that's really a broad question, right? You know, if this is the only source, so do we have any source at all for an obligation to provide general health? Right, there's a prohibition against suicide. Maybe there's a proactive obligation to avoid death, but we haven't yet found anybody come up with a reasonable, right, with a reasonable source for avoiding injury. Right, that's right. That's right. I just wanted to put that on the table. Okay, having done that, we move to Gemara. Move to Gemara in Tanis. Okay, Rory, you on for this? Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says, right, Shmuel says, Kol Yoshev B'Tanis Nikra Kote, and the rationale for that is that he holds like our friend Rabbi Ezra Kapper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what did Shmuel say earlier that makes this problematic? In the previous sugya. Shmuel says.
He said that it was talking about, was referring to the sugya was talking about.
They're talking about your Yoshev B'Tanis, right?
Right,
and if you say, I swear that I will be your Yoshev B'Tanis, that is an example of what?
Of a shmuel that you could keep against the author.
That's right. So how do we deal with Shmuel saying here that anybody who is Yoshev B'Tanit is a chote, when Shmuel just volunteered as the example of a legitimate mode of self-harm, is to say Tanit. So how do we reconcile that? All right, Ron, what do you want to say?
לכן הוא קורא לזה נקרא חוטא, ולכן גם הוא קורא את זה כרע על האחרים, לא רק במובן האובייקטיבי שתענית מניעת אכילה הרעה על עצמך, אלא גם בגלל שעשית מעשה שלילי, שלכן גם המילה הרעה קשורה אליו. הוא לא עושה את זה לגמרי, זה לא אסור. פשוט נקרא חוטא כי אמירה יותר מתה הלכתית.
באנגלית אומרים, this is wrong,
yeah.
But not אסור. Okay. So now we have, so the word נקרא חוטא now means wrong. And Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar HaKapar. So Rav Elazar HaKapar holds what about Kabbalah Ba'atzmo?
Eh, lo kumo
shagmara mefreshet
oto?
Eh,
po agmara
mefreshet oto? Lo,
agmara
mefreshet oto, agmara mefreshet oto.
שאומר שהאדם אינו
רשאי
לעשות.
אה, איפה משתמש במילה אסור?
הוא לא משתמש. הוא לא כמו
הגמרא. לא, אני יודע, אוקיי? אז אם אתה בטוח מתחילה שאין אדם רשאי, פירושו אדם אסור, אז אם כן יש סתירה. אבל אם אתה בטוח לאפשרות שאין אדם רשאי, זה אומר שזה wrong, אז אין סתירה בכלל. הגמרא רק מביא ראיה שנקרא חוטא. אין אדם רשאי, זה אומר שהוא נקרא חוטא, הוא לא אומר שזה אסור.
אני חושב שזאת ראיה בעייתית גם, בגמרא בפני עצמה, כשהגמרא אומרת רבי אלעזר כפר, גם אני חושב
שזה. אהה, אוקיי, דבי, מה אתה רוצה להגיד?
זה מחלוקת בין שמואל לסתם
ולגמרא, אני לא מבין מה רבי אלעזר כפר אומר. אהה, זה מחלוקת בין סתם ולגמרא, זה מחלוקת בין שמואל לסתם ולגמרא.
כן.
אז איך אתה רוצה להגיד את זה גם?
Shmuel is still working under the assumption that there's a separate iser of Kabbalah, and therefore I can demoke him the Shvua case to a case of Eishe B'tanis, which is wrong but not utter. Once we reject Shmuel Dokimta, then we have to pin the position of Kabbalah Ba'atma Asar on somebody. So the only one we're left with is Rabbi Elazar HaKafar. So it must be according
okay, to. Okay, so David is pointing out.
Reject Shmuel Dokimta that Rabbi Elazar HaKafar meant it as a real answer.
Okay, so David is pointing out, correct me if I'm wrong, is that actually I was oversimplified. Because the only reason that Shmuel says that the Brayta of Nishtal HaRal Atmo is talking about a Shev B'Ta'anis, according to our Gemara, is that he believes that other kinds of self-harm are usur.
Yes.
Right? So even though, right, so it turns out that the Gemara seems to believe there, right, even though the phrase Adam Rashai is, right, does not demonstrate Isur, but the, right, but that Shmuel has to establish it in the case of a Shev B'Ta'anis seems to imply that Shmuel, at least, holds that real Kabbalah is usur. That's it, right? That is it, right? That is a real point. Okay, I can see that. I suspect there is a way out, but I don't have one offhand. Okay. Right, so David wants to tell the end, at least the Stam Gemara over there holds that Shmuel believes that Kabbalah is Legamrei usur, and that the Gemara there ends up believing that Shmuel and that Shmuel's position that Kabbalah is really usur is connected to Rav HaKapar's position that Kabbalah is really usur, but here the Gemara seems to think that Shmuel and Rav Elazar.
No.
Yeah?
The Gemara, after rejecting Shmuel's Okimta,
right,
because of a textual argument,
yes,
says that the only Tana we are left with and we can possibly pin our Mishnah on is Rav Elazar Kapar.
Right.
So we who reject Shmuel's Okimta have to say that Rav Elazar HaKapar is talking about actual Isser. Shmuel, who is comfortable with making that Okimta textual argument aside.
That Okimta doesn't get him a Tana that says it's Usser.
What?
What Tana does Shmuel have who says that it's Kabbalah Ba'atmecha is Usser?
Our Mishnah. We have no reason to question the existence of a Tana for our Mishnah were it not in seeming contradiction with the Mishnah in Shavuos.
Uh-huh.
The only reason why we need to establish who is our Mishnah like is because there's a contradictory Stam Mishnah in Shavuot.
Uh-huh.
But if you can make an Okimta on that Mishnah in Shavuot, you're not bothered by the question.
And then you just think that it's our Mishnah as such. You're not bothered by the existence of the parallel Brayta that says the opposite.
Right, because then you could just assume, okay, there's a parallel Brayta, but the Stam Mishnah position is against the parallel Brayta. And I don't normally... If something is a uniform Stam Mishnah position, I don't normally need to find another source for it.
Okay, excellent. Well done. Okay, good. So we go from right. So we have that. Did all of you follow what David's argument is?
No.
David's fancy argument is as follows: that we start off right. David, if you know what I argued in the flow of the sugya. Was that we start off with a Mishnah which seems to say, Ein Adam Rashai Lachvol Batmo. We end up with desperately trying to find any Tana who holds that position. But why? If we started off with a Stam Mishnah, why don't we just say the Stam Mishnah says it? Okay, so I argue, right, so that was, literally I argued, wow, that's an interesting move in a sugya to start from a Stam Mishnah and end up claiming that you barely have anybody who says this. Right, what David says is that in the way the Gemara gets there is by initially claiming that the Stam Mishnah is impossible because it contradicts what it presents as a universally agreed Brayta, which says that you can't that a Shvua L'Haral Atzmecha is Chal, and if Chavala Atzmecha is Asur, then a Shvua L'Haral Atzmecha should not be Chal. Now the Gemara has a way, right? And that's why the Gemara thinks that the Mishnah, you can't just take the Stam Mishnah, it has to be a Machlokas Tanayim, and once it's a Machlokas Tanayim, then I need to find somebody to back up the Stam Mishnah. So, since the reason the Gemara presents the Stam Mishnah as needing support is because it contradicts the Brayta and Shavuot, but Shmuel doesn't believe it contradicts the Brayta and Shavuot. Because Shmuel said the Brayta and Shavuot is talking about Tanis. Right, therefore Shmuel Dafka is the one who doesn't need Rav Elazar HaKapar. So there's a sort of an irony, right? So the way David's setting it up is the Gemara here believes that our original Gemara believes that Shmuel holds Asur L'Adam Lachvol B'Atzmo, and Rav Elazar HaKafar hold Adam HaTzur Lechavol Batzvah, but they don't agree with each other. Whereas the Gemara in Tanis believes that neither Shmuel nor Rav Elazar HaKafar believes Adam HaTzur Lechavol Batzvah, but they do agree with each other. Right, that's what we have to end up saying.
Well, the Gemara in Tanis doesn't tell us a word about Kabbalah.
Yeah.
All we know about is Tanis.
And it Nikra Chote. Which you understand in light of Shmuel elsewhere has to mean not usher.
Yeah.
And it holds like Rabbi Elazar Kapper, therefore Elazar Kapper must hold not usher.
Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Aliva de Shmuel, could still hold that Tinus is Chote but not usher. And
Kabbalah. Okay, even fancier. Now we're in great Akhrodisha territory. Think about, right? Since Shmuel was the only one above the Kama who didn't need Rav Elazar HaKafar to say that Kabbalah Batnecha was Asur, therefore the Gemara and Tanis can say that Shmuel holds like Rav Elazar HaKafar Lishitaso, that Rav Elazar HaKafar is not necessary for the Asur position. It's beautiful. Anyway, how convincing it is depends on how, you know, happy or that methodology, but it's beautiful. I award two aesthetic points, if nothing else. Pardon?
The least convincing way, except for all the other ones.
No, it's just a beautiful illustration of that.
And see if we can make any sense of it whatsoever. I think that's our first ambition, is to make any sense of them whatsoever, to get them to successfully form a reading of the Mishnah, and then when we have the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah, we can go back and address the question of whether it says anything about the three axes that we're focusing on, the relationship between Kabbalah property and Kabbalah money, and the question of how Kabbalah relates to ownership of your body, and what's one of it? So I'll go to the last one. And the number is on your sheet. Alright, we'll figure out if we remember it.
No,
the three axes that we were interested in addressing.